Matt Sakaris from TSN 1040 in Vancouver joins us. I guess, Matty, how do you think the Canucks, how much of a loss, if any, is Ryan Miller going to be?
Well, before we get into that, Jason, how do I get into your Masters draw? Goodness gracious, that is some prizing you guys have there. I'm going to have to get on our people here because Masters prizing, goodness gracious, that is a hell of a prize. Good, we can use the ratings that a Masters prize brings with it.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, it is. As a matter of fact, I just I found out today we're apparently going to take our show down to the U.S. Open, which is in Chambers Bay outside of Seattle this year. So it'll be my first experience at a major golf tournament.
Oh, you'll love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I know. Especially especially if the weather holds. Should be gorgeous in June. Anyways, Ryan Miller. Yeah. This is quite a list of injuries now for the Vancouver Canucks. I think Miller makes 9 out of their regular lineup. They're already playing with 4 out of their top 6D on the shelf. They're missing, as of Friday, Alex Burrows, who was playing back on the first line with the Twins and playing well. They're missing 2 of their top 3 centermen and now the starting goaltender. So, I mean, they played well. They've won their fair share of games. They've beaten some really good teams like, you know, Pittsburgh and Chicago. Minnesota's been surging. They got 1 over them. They beat the Rangers last week at the Garden. They got the Islanders yesterday on the island and shut them out. So, I mean, they've been able to withstand all of this thus far. Clearly, there's an end point in sight here. I'm not sure you can keep on keeping on with this lineup and winning. And the latest will be Ryan Miller, although it must be said, you know, Eddie Lack, until Friday, where he had a bit of a stinker in New Jersey, was right there on the cusp of stealing some time and stealing some starts from Miller, who hadn't played all that well of late. Now, he's fantastic in the first period last night, and then sadly, Yannick Hansen collides with him, and it looks like he's got a right knee injury or a right leg injury, and it looks like he might miss the next 4 to 6 weeks if things are as bad as they appear. So this will be quite a test for them.
With Miller going down, they bring up Jakob Markstrom, and the guy's a skyscraper. I'm assuming that Markstrom will probably never see Utica again because of his situation with waivers.
Well, that's the thing. He's been recalled on an emergency basis. So long as he doesn't play 10 games, he can go right back to Utica without having to clear waivers. If he plays 10 games or more, he does have to clear waivers. Although, if the Miller injury gets to 6 weeks, which is what some people believe it could be at the longest period, that gets them to like the final week of the regular season. At which point, I think they'd probably just carry the 3 goaltenders anyways. But you know, some of that depends on Utica as well. And yeah, 6'6", once considered the best goalie prospect outside the NHL when he was in the Florida organization, and he's been dominant in the American Hockey League this year. He's got a goals against under 2 and a save percentage of around 930. So I think a lot of people are interested to see him in a game and see if all the progress that he's made this year at the AHL translates to the NHL.
Zach Cassian goes from healthy scratch to one of the hottest scorers. Helps, of course, when you play with the Sedins. He's still not that old. I think he's 24 years of age, right? Consistency is clearly the big issue with him, Matt. Is his consistency, you know, any part of that related to maturity, seeing the game? Like, what is he doing well when he does it well that he clearly isn't doing when he's getting benched?
Yeah. Well, he's prone to the big giveaway, be it in his own zone, be it at neutral ice, of trying to make a pass that isn't there. And I mean, Strudwick knows, Jason, when you're a young player and you're trying to get away with that stuff and you're one of the few guys who's trying and the coach is trying to win games, you're an easy guy to sit down. So that's been big. You know, I think sometimes, well, just he's a huge body who refuses to play all that physical, guys. So I think that, you know, has gotten him in the doghouse with coaches in the past. And it's funny because, you know, a couple weeks ago he gets sit down, they bring him back, he plays a couple of terrific hockey games, and then sure enough, a few games later, he's back to being, you know, someone you don't notice out there. They sit him down again. He's scheduled to be a healthy scratch Friday against the Devils. Alex Burrows is a late scratch. Cassian goes in the lineup. They go down 3-0 in the second period. Coach figures, what all, you know, I got nothing else to lose. He puts Cassian with the Twins. All of a sudden, he gets 2 goals. And then he scores again yesterday on the island, where he opens it with a slap shot from distance that beats the goaltender. So he's back going again. I think he's got like an 8-game point streak or something like that, albeit there are healthy scratches within that 8-game point streak, which you don't see all the time. And for the moment, he's the top line right winger with the Twins.
What about Sean Matthias? 14 goals already this year, easily going to eclipse his season total. Are you surprised about the production he's putting up this year for the Canucks?
Yeah, I am, because he scored some goals this year that look much more like goal scorers' goals than they do bottom six goals. They weren't ugly mucking goals. They were, you know, beating a goaltender short side off the wing with a perfect shot or something like that. So, yeah, he stepped up his game, and he's found a nose, got a nose for a net. With the injuries they've had at center, he's gone back to the middle here the last couple of weeks, which is his natural position, and he's really flourished there. And he's playing with a ton of confidence right now, and it shows. So, yeah, he's been one of the guys who's been floating them over these last couple of weeks when they've been had so many regulars out.
Matt Sakaris from TSN 1040 in Vancouver joins us. Matt, the race in the West just gets better every day. Minnesota's on fire. L.A., of course, has won 7 in a row. You know, Vancouver's sitting in 5th place. They're only 3 points out of 10th. Now, they obviously have a few games at hand on the Jets and everyone else. So what do you think, if any, type of moves they would make between now and Monday?
Well, it's funny because they've got like 1 foot in this year, 1 foot in next year. And I know that Jim Benning, who comes from a scouting background, their GM, doesn't want to part with any kind of draft picks because, I mean, they're just finally now at the stage where they have a legitimate number of prospects. For years and years, they were one of the, you know, worst farm systems in the NHL because they sold off most of their pieces to try and to win a cup. So I can't see him sacrificing much of the future on rentals. I mean, unless it's very, very low cost rentals. All year long, they've needed a top six forward, and he's been looking to make some sort of hockey trade to get a top six forward. I do wonder if one of the goaltenders is in play now. Well, I shouldn't say that. If Miller's out for the 4 to 6 weeks, I wouldn't think a goaltender is in play. If the prognosis for Miller is a little better, I do wonder whether or not they would consider moving one of the backup goaltenders, but that's probably less likely right now. I could see it being a pretty quiet trade deadline for a guy who sort of acquired the nickname Trader Jim here because of all the moves he made last year at the draft and the fact that he's been willing to make some, you know, subtle under-the-radar moves during the course of this season.
You did make a trade, you call it a hockey trade. Adam Clendenning comes over from the Canucks, or sorry, from the Hawks to the Canucks.
Yeah.
You know, your thoughts on his play, an offensive player from the back end.
Yeah, he's been a real pleasant surprise. We were told that, too. He's an offensive-minded defenseman and maybe still has a ways to go defensively. You know, boy, he hasn't shown a glaring weakness in terms of his defensive play. He's been pretty darn good for them, and he's earning more and more time. Now plays on the first unit power play, and that has a lot to do with some of the injuries, but he's made the most of it. He walks that blue line pretty well amongst their power play quarterbacks. He shoots the puck. He gets it on net for the most part. He's got a good shot. So, yeah, I mean, he hasn't looked out of place defensively. He's contributed a little offensively, and for the most part, the reviews have been very good. He's played very well since coming over in that trade.
Matty, it's going to be an interesting race. Interesting. I wonder if we will see a trickle-down effect if one of these Western teams makes a move before the deadline, if other GMs say, oh, man, I got to match that. It could be a chess match between now and next Monday, and then the final 20-some games to the playoffs will be great.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you guys one thing. Do you think the Oilers are going to get Petrie re-signed by Monday?
No chance.
There's a better chance of Gregor's hair growing back by that time before.
Okay. Yeah. So a negative chance, actually.
Yeah. And Struz just brought in a bottle of Propecia for me, and it's still zero chance.
Well, boy, I mean, I tell you, he's an interesting player now as a right-shot defenseman with Frantzen off the market. And I do wonder whether there'll be a bit of a bidding war for him, given how few right shot defensemen there are these days.
It's very true. You know, the Oilers, they need a prospect rather than a draft pick. A draft pick doesn't help them for 4 or 5 years. They got to hope to get a prospect who's maybe at least you know, 2 or 3 years past his draft.
Yeah, I should also tell you guys, apparently Dallas Eakins lives here now.
Yes,
in Vancouver.
Yes.
Yeah.
He said he was going to live in Edmonton at his year-end press conference. That lasted a week, so.
Oh, did he? That's right. He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Anyways, I think he might be helping us out here on the air coming up soon, so I'll let you know.
Oh, nice. All right. Fill us in. Yeah. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.